for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Another teenager now living in California is speaking out about abuse he alleges he suffered at the Shenandoah Valley Juvenile Center. The man accused of killing Heather Heyer during last year's white supremacist rally in Charlottesville is charged with a hate crime, and he could face the death penalty. The number of songbirds in Virginia is falling. But what's being done about that? This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, June 28th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the Shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Another teenager now living in California is speaking out about abuse he alleges he suffered at the Shenandoah Valley Juvenile Center. The Honduran teen describes being beaten and deprived of food inside the center near Stanton. The man, now 18, says he was strip searched and placed in solitary confinement after arriving at the center at age 16. Now living in California, the teenager spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity because he feared the government might retaliate against him for speaking out. His firsthand account echoes abuse claims by other children included in a federal civil rights lawsuit against the facility. The Juvenile Center's executive director has said that an internal investigation concluded that the incidents the lawsuit describes were unfounded. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has ordered two state agencies to investigate the facility. Meanwhile, the Daily News Record reports that a federal judge ruled on Wednesday that the lawsuit against the Juvenile Center may go ahead as a class action that opens it up to any unaccompanied Latino migrant children who are or have been detained at the center. The lawsuit was originally filed last October on behalf of an unidentified 17-year-old who crossed the border illegally from Mexico in 2015 and was detained at the center. Also Wednesday, a federal grand jury in Charlottesville charged an Ohio man with federal hate crimes, including one that resulted in the death of Heather Heyer during the Unite the Right rally on August 12th. Thomas Cullen is the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Virginia.
Mr. Fields, who was 20 years old at the time, utilized numerous social media outlets to express his white supremacist views, his support for the social and racial policies of Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany, including the Holocaust, and his support for violence against African Americans, Jewish people, and others who he perceived to be non-white.
Cullen went on to describe the actions of James Alex Fields Jr. that day.
Suddenly and without any instigation or provocation or warning, he sped forward and went down 4th Street at a high rate of speed, and he drove directly into the crowd. Mr. Fields reversed his vehicle and fled in reverse at a high rate of speed back up Market Street, turned around, and attempted to flee from the city of Charlottesville. He was eventually apprehended by local law enforcement.
Cullen thanked the FBI and state and local law enforcement for their cooperation that led to Wednesday's indictment. Virginia's Republican representatives again split on efforts to pass an immigration bill. 6th District Congressman Bob Goodlatte was one of the main architects of the bill voted on Wednesday, though only Morgan Griffith and Barbara Comstock joined him in a futile effort to pass it. Outgoing 5th District Representative Tom Garrett joined three other Virginia Republicans in voting against the bill. Garrett wants to see the country secure borders and then address the situation of people who are here illegally by virtue of circumstances beyond their control. But he says the order is backwards. Virginia's four Democratic representatives, including Bobby Scott, also voted against the bill.
If they want to solve the problem, there's bipartisan support for meaningful, comprehensive immigration reform.
Scott said if Republicans won't agree to a comprehensive bill, Congress should at least address DACA and the separation of immigrant families caught at the border. Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring is filing a lawsuit in Tazewell County Circuit Court against Purdue Pharma, accusing them of profiting from and contributing to the state's growing opioid epidemic. From partner station WCVE, Megan Pauley reports.
The lawsuit alleges the pharmaceutical company lied about and misrepresented the effectiveness and safety of its drugs. One of several allegations that the company exaggerated the benefits of opioids and downplayed the benefits of over-the-counter painkillers. Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring.
They had a sophisticated sales effort to make hundreds of thousands of visits to prescribers to try to push more of their prescription opioids onto patients and Virginians.
Pharma responded to requests for comment Wednesday afternoon, saying they ended programs promoting opioids to prescribers over the last couple of years.
And that is Megan Pauley reporting from WCVE. According to a new report from the Union of Concerned Scientists, much of Virginia's coastline will face persistent and chronic flooding by the end of the century. As Virginia Public Radio's Mallory No Payne reports, a new cabinet member in Virginia is tasked with fighting the flooding.
The position has been created, and the governor's office will begin interviewing candidates in July. The title of Special Assistant to the Governor for Coastal Adaptation and Protection may be long, but the goal is straightforward.
This position's responsibility is to take and look at those threats and see how we turn those into assets.
Republican delegate Chris Stolle represents much of Virginia Beach and Norfolk. He says rising seas, sinking land, and aging infrastructure have created a perfect storm of flooding that coastal residents already experience. But, he adds, the challenge of dealing with flooding could be turned into an economic boon.
Hampton Roads is sort of a testing area for new technologies that will impact the entire East Coast and many places on the West Coast.
Stolle says the new cabinet member's focus will be economic development, not fighting climate change. In Richmond, I'm Mallory No Payne.
Finally, year after year, scientists report falling numbers of songbirds in Virginia. One likely reason, changes in the places they like to feed, mate, and nest. To provide them with healthier habitats, the Nature Conservancy is doing something bold, burning large sections of an 18,000-acre forest in Bath County. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman went there to learn more.
It's a drizzly day in May, just after sunrise, but the rain hasn't kept the Nature Conservancy's Laurel Shabline and Nicole Simmons from driving the winding mountainous roads of Bath County.
We have 107 birding plots within this 18,000-acre project, and we're going to one of these plots to do our avian monitoring survey this morning.
The idea is to count species and individuals in a 100-meter radius to figure out whether controlled burns are making a difference. Historically, lightning strikes sparked blazes that cleared the forest floor of debris, making way for new trees and bushes, places favored by certain kinds of birds. As we hike through the underbrush, Shabline explains the difference made by a single controlled burn.
If you look on this side, this is a more dense forest where you can't see very far, and that is one kind of forest we need. But then if you look over here, you can see a ton of the sky. You see a shrub layer and a little bit of a mid layer and some dead trees that are also important. Woodpeckers really like to forage in the dead trees, and then any cavity nesters like chickadee or some owl species.
Ornithologists are especially worried about golden-winged warblers. They have one of the smallest global populations of any songbird, and this part of Virginia is their stronghold.
They weren't ever really common, but their numbers were growing in the early 1900s when settlers were coming in and making clearings and starting farmland. And then people were just mowing right up to the forest edge or converting their habitat into fields. They really need small trees adjacent to large forests. So that's why since the 60s, both cerulean and golden-winged warblers have experienced greater than 50 to 70% population loss.
When we get to the center of a designated plot, Shabline gets out her clipboard and pen, while Simmons positions her binoculars. She won't actually see most of the birds she counts, but she will hear them.
If the birds are at the very tip-tops of the trees, or if they're jumping around in the leaf litter behind dense shrubs, you just wouldn't see them all. Begin.
Hummingbird A and B, Redstart, Red Eye Vireo, Peewee, Worm-Eating Warbler.
Over a 10-minute period, she'll identify 16 individuals and 14 species.
They have different calls, they have different chip notes, they have different songs. One of the things that was really helpful for me, at least starting out, is mnemonics to help you remember some of the things. So we have the chestnut-sided warbler. It says, please, 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 to meet ya. Carolina wren I remember as Germany, Germany, Germany.
And the eastern towhee with some English advice.
He says, drink your tea.
In the course of their work, Nicole Simmons and Laurel Shabline will encounter black bears, bobcats, and coyotes. That's always a thrill. But the real excitement comes in reviewing the medium and long-term data they've compiled.
We've seen an increase in species since 2011. We've seen an increase in number of individuals. We've seen an increase in diversity.
In the mountains of Bath County, I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.